Good morning. Well, it's so good to be here with you this morning. And I just have to start by saying I've experienced such a welcome and a joy. I really feel and sense the Spirit of God here. As I saw you leading us in worship, I thought, oh, wow, this is rich and wonderful. And if I could have you, you know, sing that "Slow Me Down, Lord" before every sermon, I think we'd be good. So what a gift you have in your worship team. Thank you so much for leading us. Well, when your pastor John asked me a few months ago if I might be able to come on this Sunday and share the word with you, I did my usual and asked a little bit about you. I wanted to know who you are, what's been going on, what's been happening, and maybe what's going to happen. And he shared with me that this is a really special year for you. This is your 100-year celebration, and that is a really amazing thing. So I am just delighted and so thankful that I get to be here in the middle of such a special time for you. And he shared with me, you know, that his heart's desire was really that you together would be discerning the unique way that God is inviting you to move forward, to go with God. I think you've been doing a go series throughout these last several months. And he just said, you know, we want to discern that specialness of what's for us right now and the next step that God would be inviting us to take. And so with that in mind, I was thinking of these words from Basil Pennington, who said, "The first thing to do in responding to God's presence and word is to notice what God is doing and to keep out of his way. And the second thing is to align ourselves with and participate in God's transformational actions in the world." And so here you are right in the midst of that, this noticing where God's at work and seeking to align yourselves with what God's doing. It's a really amazing and wonderful place of invitation that you find yourselves. And so I picked these two gospel passages, which may seem a little strange. Why are we looking at these in this place of discernment? So I want to just draw our attention, let's see here, to the first passage, which we've just heard read. And right on into verse 3, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Jesus, in each of the Gospels, has a way of inviting us back to the simplicity of a little child. And you see some of my crew over here. We are missing one of our four who's off at his cousin's baptism today, so a good thing. But Jesus says you have to become like a child to be in the kingdom, to be about what the kingdom's about. And then this next passage, again, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Bring these littlest ones, even the babies, to me." And he touches them. I don't know if you noticed that. And the disciples are saying, no, we're busy, we've got things to do. Keep these little ones away. They're an annoyance. They're not what we want to be all about. And he says, no, bring him close. Again, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. So here we have just two passages that come right at us. So this idea of becoming like a child. So can I just ask you a couple of questions? When you think about what it means to be childlike, what comes up to you? What does it mean to be childlike? You can talk back to me. Innocent, yes. What else?
Carefree,
yes. What else do you think of when you think about being childlike? Simple.
Goofy.
Goofy, yes. I'm all about the goofy. My kids tell me I'm weird all the time. Playful, absolutely. What else?
Loving.
I didn't hear that one.
Loving,
yes. Yeah, kids have this innate curiosity and carefree spirit, and they're always exploring. They're out there, you know, just trying to soak up everything in their world. Their minds are like little sponges, aren't they? They're so moldable, malleable, whether we like it or not sometimes, right? They pick up everything we say, everything we do, and they're going to mimic it back to you. Our daughter, who's 2, that she is all about that right now. And her big brothers crack up that she'll repeat whatever they tell her. So little ones are so curious, and they wonder and marvel at every single thing. Now, so this is what Jesus is talking about, this idea of being childlike, becoming like a child. All of those things we've just mentioned, this carefree heart, the spirit of wonder. But there is a difference between being childlike and childish, isn't there? So what do you think of that word, childish? What comes to mind?
Immature.
Yes, immature. And what does that look like when somebody's exhibiting childish or immature behavior? He's like, don't look at me. Inappropriate, yeah. You think of all those things like throwing a fit, having a tantrum, being stubborn, that willful thing that shows up in us, which is part of our development. So Jesus, when he says, you got to become like a child, he's not talking about those childish traits that we do, in fact, need to mature beyond. But he is talking about that spirit of wonder and curiosity. So I love this quote from Dr. David Benner. He says, created in the image of God, our natural posture is attentive openness to the divine. And so when you watch a child, you see that attentiveness. They notice everything. And they're so open to whatever's in front of them. And so our natural posture is attentive openness to the divine. And then he goes on to say, those who know God most deeply have relearned the soul's natural language of this prayerful attentiveness to the divine. So when Jesus says, you got to become like children, he's talking about what Dr. Benner says here, about kind of relearning again this prayerful attentiveness, this openness to whatever's in front of you. And in fact, everything that's in front of us is a way for us to see God, isn't it? There's not one created person or created thing that God hasn't been a part of making. And so everything we look at, wherever we go, even the people who, you know, maybe annoy us or things that we'd rather not deal with, in fact, there's an invitation from God in all of it to be open and to look for God. So I love this quote by Barbara Brown Taylor. And she says, to apprentice oneself to a child is to learn that the world is full of wonders. So before I go on, has anybody been an apprentice ever in your life, in your work? Yes. What was it like to be an apprentice? Okay. Yeah, sometimes you thought you already knew it, but you really had to learn. And so you would come alongside your teacher, your master, the person who had mastered whatever the skill was, and you spent a lot of time with them, didn't you? Yeah. Somebody else raised their hand. So tell me about being an apprentice. And was it like just a couple days? Years. That's right. When we become an apprentice, we walk closely with somebody and we learn from their every move over a pretty big period of time usually. So Barbara Brown Taylor says we have to apprentice ourselves to a child as a way to open to this world that's full of wonder. She says to enter the world, all you have to do is surrender your certainty that you already know what everything is and what it's for. And all you have to do is start over again. Assuming nothing and learning to approach every created thing with awe. It's a process of conversion or reconversion, really, a recovery of what you once knew and forgot. Yeah. Yeah.
And that issue of going back day after day.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so showing up every day with that openness, with that curiosity, with that expectation of there's something that I need to be looking for to learn every single day. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, another one. Yes. There is a place for being still, isn't there? We'll get to that in a minute. Thank you for bringing that up. So when Barbara Brown Taylor says, when she says, we're to apprentice ourselves to a child, when I think she's pointing right at what Jesus was saying. In the midst of our world, in the midst of everything we have to do, our responsibilities, he calls his followers to become like little children. And so Barbara Brown Taylor says, well, what does that mean? Well, that really means you need to apprentice yourself to a child. Just like we would for a trade, you need to walk closely with a little one. And I have my little ones here, you can see today, who are my teachers. You're my teacher, aren't you? And we let them show us the way back to that spirit of openness and attentiveness and curiosity and wonder. So in the ancient world, children were viewed as subhuman. They weren't fully human until they reached the time of puberty. It was not uncommon for infants and little ones to be cast aside, to be neglected, abandoned, even sold, discarded. A child was not viewed as a thou. They were an it in the ancient world. And we can see evidence of that in the fact that the words used for children in most ancient texts are neuter. They're not a feminine or a masculine. So when we're talking to our children, we would say, oh, she is so cute. In the ancient language, it would have been it. It is cute, you know, if we wanted to say this. So we see that all through the ancient texts. And in fact, even in our gospel passage, the words for children that we saw were these neuter words. And Jesus uses this to bring the full weight of what he wants to communicate. He draws on this cultural understanding. The force of his teaching and his action actually hinges on the recognition of this low esteem for children. And so we saw that, didn't we, in the passages where the disciples are like, bah, get away from us. Go away. And so Jesus draws on that. And can you imagine him calling one of the little ones forward, saying, hey, Sophia, come here. And they come close. And he says, yeah, here's this little shy one, but who's, see that sparkle in her eye, full of wonder, full of curiosity. She might be unsure about some things, but she is ready to soak up every new thing. And so Jesus draws the little one to him right in the middle of this conversation. Did you catch the conversation the disciples were having about who's the greatest? Isn't that our world? Isn't that what the typical language is? How do we strive and compete and get ahead and be the best? In a church, it would be, how do we get more people? How do we get more money? How do we get all these things? How are we? And Jesus says, put all that aside. Bring this little one to me. And as you bring a little one forward to Jesus, he said, this little one right here is the key to what you need to know. His disciples were bothered, and Jesus said, no, bring him close, let him come, and he even touched them. So, what does this mean to apprentice ourselves to become like a child again, as Jesus has said, but apprentice ourselves to a child? It's really all about that spirit of wonder. If I could just zero it in on cultivating wonder, I believe that that's at the heart of what Jesus was trying to communicate. And so wonder puts us in a position where we're open, where we're receptive to the Spirit of God in a whole new way. And we have a way of knowing, not just knowing in our minds, but knowing that full body, mind, body, soul, knowing through an experience of wonder that we can't get by just reading a book or just, going to school or something. So there's this way of wonder that comes so naturally for children. And it's part of why Jesus says, hey, they're your teachers. Go back to them. So I have a couple pictures for you here of my kiddos. So this is Sophia. This was in the spring. She took her little magnifying glass out, and she was exploring those first little flowers popping up. The other two pictures were from when she was younger. The one at the top was her first Christmas, where she was just mesmerized by that Christmas tree, you know, the touching of these shiny bulbs and the lights. And the one on the bottom right is last fall, when the first leaves were falling, and she just stood out there on the deck saying, oh, another one, just pointing at every single leaf that was falling. She was so curious. So, wonder puts us in this position of openness. I have a few more pictures here, I think. We're learning about apprenticing ourselves to a child through cultivating wonder. So this is one of the boys. We were walking through a festival, and you see this big tortoise. You can't see it so well in this light, but there's actually another lizard, a bearded dragon that was up on top. But, you know, we're walking along, and it caught their attention, and they turned aside, and they knelt right down, as you can see, captivated by these creatures. The one on the top there is our youngest son, Caleb, who is mesmerized by fire. Anybody else love a good fire? You just can stare at it and be around it. It just draws you in, doesn't it? We hosted a big camp out at our house over the weekend, and fire was a central part of that. The other two, our oldest son, Miles, and that was 3 years ago when that eclipse? I don't know, we dragged the telescope out, and it was past his bedtime on a school night, but he was interested in this wonder in the sky, and can we watch it? Can we do this? And so we spent some time wondering about that. Then Sophia at the the zoo, her first trip to the zoo at the aquarium, and she plastered herself up there against the glass to see this wonder. And then we were at the imagination station when they had that big Lego exhibit, and our second son is the one turning toward the creation, and he has this look on his face as he was reading the description of how many thousands of Legos went into that. He just was captivated that they could take that many Legos to build something and that somebody thought that up and did that. He was just in awe of that. So these are just some ways to get us thinking about what does it mean to cultivate wonder? And Einstein once suggested that there are only two ways to live our lives, and that is though everything is a miracle or as though nothing is. So there is a choice that we have to make. And I think for you in this 100th year, your centennial celebration, the first invitation is to realize this, that every day there is this invitation for you to recognize your life and your life together and your life in this specific community is a miracle. There are invitations and opportunities for you everywhere, not just, in little tiny ways, because it's really either or. It's either it's all there or there's nothing. So it's this openness again. So we can begin cultivating wonder in a variety of ways. And so the first one is to try something new. Now, when you've been a church for 100 years, sometimes you have a way of doing things, don't you? And so there is an invitation, just like children are often trying something new. In fact, for Sophia, almost everything is new. She's only two. She's tried many things, but every day there's something that is brand new for her. And in that stepping out of our comfort zone and trying something new, we experience that opportunity for wonder again. So we can be intentional to try something new. This is Owen, our second son, a couple of years ago, who was kind of a cautious guy. But we went to the lake with family, and he thought, I don't know, he was a little nervous, but he jumped on the kayak and tried it, had the time of his life. He was so proud of himself. We were proud of him that he tried something new. And it was an experience of wonder being out there on the water. I don't know if any of you went to the exhibit at the Art Museum a couple years ago where they had this, somebody crocheted this huge thing. It went from the floor to the ceiling in one of those big exhibit rooms. And you could, it was interactive art. You could climb on it. So you see, this is Miles climbing. There were dozens and dozens of kids. Adults were climbing on it. I mean, who would have thought to make an art piece sculpture that was climbable? And there were hours and hours of joy. So trying something new. We can also cultivate wonder by using all of our senses and being willing to get dirty. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of prefer things to not be dirty. In fact, sometimes I make decisions about what I do for myself or with my kids because I don't want more messes to clean up. So we got an opportunity we won a raffle on Good Friday at our local YMCA. And we won the raffle for a bunny, an Angora bunny. So home week, my oldest son, Miles, said, Mom, I have a good feeling about this. I thought, what are the chances? So we end up with the bunny. We come home with the bunny. My husband is like, what? A bunny? And so we kind of were in the middle of they're messy. And they came with a cage and all the stuff you needed, so that was nice. But still, they're messy and smelly, and they require work and care. But we decided to stick with it, so that was on Good Friday. We still have the bunny, although we may or may not be looking for a new home for him. Anyway, the invitation for me in the midst of bringing home the bunny was this idea of, I could say, no, I don't want to deal with another mess. And that's a choice that I can make, but it also cuts off that place for the wonder and the exploring and curiosity and trying new. The things that my kids, their eyes just lit up. They were so excited. They ran to the car and they were jumping for joy. Oh, the bunny, oh, we love him. And so we had to make it, my husband and I had to make a decision. Do we vote for the cleanliness and let go of the wonder, or do we put up with a little bit of a mess, at least for a while, and allow that wonder to be there? So there's an invitation to be willing to get dirty, to use all of your senses. And so here's a picture of Miles. This is out on our property. Miles started building a teepee That was like in February. We had a warm day or something. And Sophia was thrilled to dig in the leaves and the dirt and help with that, using all their senses. So another way, and this is maybe a typical thing we think of with kids, isn't it? That they play. Now, how about the rest of you? When was the last time you played? What do you do for play? You can talk back to me. I hear a bird chirping, almost as good as crickets. Right? As adults, it's hard for us to think about, how do I play? What do I do to play? And so one of the ways we can cultivate wonder, we can come back to doing what Jesus has asked us to do, is through intentionally playing. So our friends have a farm down in central Ohio, and I love going on the farm because I'm not responsible for anything. It's just a place that I can visit and be with people I love, and they have this tire swing, and every time we got to hop on the tire swing. And so there's me just with a playful, oh, the weight of the world is off my shoulders. I don't have to do anything. The next one was a couple winters ago. This is my husband. We had all the snow. Oh my gosh, that one, I don't remember if it was 12 or 13, where we had just, you know, a freeze over. And so he went and shoveled all the neighbor's snow into our yard so that he could build, you know, forts. And one time he built a luge for the boys. And I mean, it's just this ridiculous stuff, but it's play. So as adults, we can find ways to, again, engage in this spirit of play. Also, cultivating wonder by ruthlessly eliminating hurry. There's that slow me down, right? So Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, put it this way, ruthlessly eliminating hurry. Not just like, oh, maybe once in a while, but like having this attitude of, oh my gosh, I have to be so serious about slowing down sometimes. And so here, this is off our back deck. I just had to kick my feet up one day and just enjoy the beautiful blue sky. And I mean, honestly, sometimes it's hard, even though the beauty of our property is there, to slow down and kick my feet up and just be still. So somebody back here said earlier, oh, sometimes you got to be still. You got to be still and listen. And that's this. We can cultivate wonder in that place of stillness, noticing what's around us, noticing the little things. There's little things and little moments all the time. This is Caleb, our youngest son, a couple years back. Those are cicada shells. Maybe you would rather not notice those. He delighted in finding everyone in the yard and around the neighborhood, and he gathered them up like a little army. The second picture over here on the right, I don't know if you can see him, he perched them on his shirt. And he wore them around while he walked through the yard in the neighborhood. Look at that face, though. I mean, sheer delight. Just the wondering curiosity of this thing was alive, and now it's not in there, but the shell is perfectly formed. It was a hoot watching him. And then this is Sophia. We were playing in the yard, and she spotted an ant, and she just ditched everything she was doing, and she crawled around in the dirt. Look at her, just like all, you know, prostrated on the ground for a good long while, noticing this little tiny ant with just rapt attention and wonder. So we can cultivate wonder by noticing the little things. Barbara Brown Taylor put it this way: my life depends on engaging the most ordinary physical activities with the most exquisite attention I can give them. So that's exquisite attention, isn't it? And learning as adults to come back to that. When Jesus says, oh, you got to become like children again, that's a part of it. Coming back to the most ordinary moments of our days, the things we have to do, the things we'd rather not do, the things we like to do, all of it with this exquisite attention, just totally captivated and drawn in. And at the heart of that is the restoring of our ability to wonder. So why am I talking to you and showing you all these pictures of my kids? Why am I talking to you about wonder in the midst of your centennial celebration? Well, this idea of wonder and the way that we are drawn closer to God and the way that we come to know things through wonder is really at the heart of what it means to be able to discern God's movement in our worlds. The better we're able to see God's fingerprints on our own soul, in our own lives, the more and more we're able to tune into that work that God is doing all the time, to God's will, to God's presence, everywhere. And here you are at this pivotal time, saying, okay, Lord, we've been here for 100 years, but what now? What now is it that you would have us do? This is a really special and pivotal time, discerning where God is calling you. And cultivating wonder is one of the best ways to pay attention, to position yourself to do that. And so Pastor John thought maybe you would be interested in taking a little wonder walk. I guess there's a path nearby here that goes down by the water that maybe you've walked on before. And he thought, oh, it's wonderful. We should do that. We should take a wonder walk. So I just want to invite you, you know, if you have time and space today, to maybe gather a friend and take a few minutes and just notice the beauty that is right here around you. Notice the wonder of being together. Maybe it's an invitation for sometime this week or in the next couple of weeks to just try out one of these practices I laid out here, ways to cultivate wonder. So intentionally noticing, intentionally using your senses, slowing down, playing. You know how to play still, don't you? Yeah, see, there you go. Apprentice yourself to this guy. Have some time to engage in these different ways. So when we practice this slow wondering, what happens is the eyes of our heart are changed. We begin to be transformed. Imagine with me what happens when you go out outside, away from the artificial lights, which sometimes it's hard for us to do in the city. But if you can get out of the way a little bit where there's not a lot of light, where things are dark, and you're quiet and still, it takes a couple minutes for your eyes to fully adjust when you go from the light to the dark, doesn't it? It takes a couple minutes at least. And sometimes, this, I think of my little ones, it can be a little awkward or a little scary. They're not quite sure about this foray out into new place and into darkness. But in the same way, it'll take the eyes of our hearts a little while to adjust to this posture of childlike wondering again. And so I want to encourage you to be patient, to go slow, to keep at it. This isn't something that we just get in a week. This apprenticeship is this sticking with it for a long haul, for the long haul. Jesus is our example, certainly, but with our children who can teach us so much. And as we do, the eyes of our heart change. We get a new perception, a perception that prepares us for a response. And when we encounter life through the spirit-shaped perception, then we're prepared to respond as God would respond in our lives and in our faith community. So I want to encourage you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, at this wonderful, unique time in your life together as the people of God, that as you practice these ways of cultivating wonder, the eyes of your heart will be changed. You will become more and more able to discern where God is on the move, and you will be able to accompany God in the work that God is already doing and wants to do more of. So our job is just to start where we are. We don't have to read a ton of new books. We don't have to go to a bunch of seminars. We don't have to, you know, get a bunch of new resources and materials. We just start where we are in the simple ways of our daily life, taking Jesus seriously to apprentice ourselves to a child, setting aside our striving and climbing, our worrying, and humbly coming, as our friend back here reminded us, showing up every day with that curiosity. Show up every day in your life with that curiosity, that openness, that sense of, oh, there's something here today. As you do that in your own lives and as you do that in your life together, you're going to be able to see those invitations God is offering right now for you for the next 100 years of your journey together. So be encouraged with the words of Isaiah that tell us, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we don't have to go anywhere special or do anything special or get new. No, everywhere you go, the whole earth is full of God's glory. Opportunities for wonder are everywhere. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you so much for the beauty of your creation, for the gift of your word, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, for the gift of your life, That you haven't left us here on our own, but that you've come and shown us the way, and that you've given us your Spirit to guide us and lead us forth. And so now I pray, Lord, that you would come. Come, Holy Spirit, in a fresh new way to these, my brothers and sisters, as they seek to discern, as they seek to see and hear and then do the new things you have for them. May their eyes be so open, their hearts open, their minds open, and may they see you everywhere they turn. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.